fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all.
It's Misty.
It's Ani.
And today we are going to bring you something a little different. We just got through doing Spotify Wrapped not that long ago.
Being the weird book people that we are, we decided why not do a Goodreads Wrapped.
Yeah, so we did, we both did reading challenges this year. Ani demolished hers, like, way before I did, mind you. And she can accredit it to all being novels. I cannot. I read a bunch of manga, and I have novels in there as well, but it's, of everything that I've read, the vast majority of it is manga.
Now, are you counting your fan fiction?
No, I haven't done that yet.
Okay.
I had told Ani, like, a couple weeks ago that, because at the end of the year I count how many fan fictions that I've read, and I do, like, a fan fiction rap just for myself. It will definitely be triple digits. There's no way it's not triple digits. And if it's not 200, I'm gonna be really surprised. So, yeah. Especially because I think between last night and today, I think I've read, like, six fan fictions.
Damn.
I read, like, four, I think, before I went to bed last night. I read, like, four short ones before I went to bed last
night. Good lord.
Yeah, so, I definitely think I probably, before I went to bed last night, read, like, 20,000 words. Yeah, I was up a little late. But, like, every... When I tend to, like, hyper-focus on a fandom, and then I'll just, like, binge-read a bunch of that stuff, but when I'm in between, like, my hyper-fixations, I have this really hard time, like, finding, like, a fan fiction to read or whatever, and then something will just trigger it for, like, I want to read a bunch of this fandom. And I saw a post on TikTok about the Merlin fandom from the TV show. I haven't watched that TV show in, like, 7 years, and I'm like, you know what? Yes. Yes. And I've read, like, 5-10 fan fictions in the last, like, 2 days. For the Merlin fandom, so.
Okay.
That hyperfixation will fade quickly because I don't partake in that fandom very often. But, and when I read novels, it's when I'm between the hyperfixations. So that's the only time I manage it, is when the desire for very specific fan fiction or fan fiction tropes has faded. So, because my anxiety has to be at a certain low level for me to partake in a novel in a universe that I don't know anything about. So it's one of the reasons I read a lot of fan fiction, because I get anxiety of, like, reading a new book in a new world that I don't know anything about. Characters, I don't know. I can't explain it. I can't. It's just a thing. And I can't explain it, and that's how it works. Like, it's not a lot of anxiety. It's just to the point that I'm just like, I could read this piece of the unknown, or I could read a fan fiction. It has all these tags, and it tells me exactly what it is, and I already know who the characters are. So, yeah. No.
You know what's funny? I'm going through my Goodreads right now, and I'm just like, I'm looking at a book that I've read. Mm-hmm. I know I read it. Can't fucking remember a damn thing about it.
That's how you know it wasn't all that great. Okay, so let's start.
Apparently I liked it.
Yeah, let's start all the way back to the first book that you read for the year. So scroll all the way to the very beginning. But first, I guess we could talk about, what was your reading goal for the year, and what are you at now?
My goal was 45 books.
Okay, and what are you at now?
69.
Fucking hell. You have demolished me. My goal was also 45, but I'm only at 49 books, and that includes a bunch of manga. So, yeah, you go, girl. So, what was your first book of the year?
Now, I have a book here that's counted as my first book, but I don't count it because it was all of, like, maybe, like, 30 pages that I finished the book. So after that, it would be the lovely story that Aaron never wants to hear again, Pucking Around.
Okay. One of the hockey romance books?
It's a hockey... It's not... It's, forget the romance. It's smut. It is pure smut.
Okay.
There is a story, but it's... Rachel not... Price. It's Rachel Price, and she's in love with... Jake, the defenseman.
Okay.
Caleb, Jake's best friend and equipment manager. And I forget his fucking name, but the Finnish goalkeeper.
So she's in love with three guys on one team?
Mm-hmm. And they're all a thing now. Also, so she marries, so legally, she marries the Finnish dude. The goalie. Well, Jake and Caleb get married, and they all live happily ever after together.
Okay.
Rachel fucks all of them. Uh-huh. Goalie fucks Rachel. Jake and Caleb fuck each other and Rachel.
Alright.
That was my first book of 2024.
What a way to start off 2024. Okay. Yeah, all right. I can see why Aaron's not thrilled with that one. I started off my year. Didn't you guys read a couple other, like, hockey books that were just kind of meh, too?
I have read The Rookie Move, which I didn't finish because I was just like, I don't give a flying fuck about this dude anymore or his partner because it was a gay romance. Now, not that it's about the gay people, just I did not care about either of the dudes. I'm like, I just don't give a shit.
Nah.
The other hockey ones that I read Icebreaker.
Yeah.
That was very cute. I really enjoyed that series. I read Wildfire, which is the second one in that one. And I read... I read Mr. Hockey.
Okay.
Which was like a short one. I read Daydream, which was the third in the Icebreaker series, and I read Pucking Wild.
Okay, yeah, that's a good number of hockey books, so that's good.
I read the whole Pucking Around series, yeah.
Okay, well, that's cool. Were any of them as bad as the first one?
Now, the second one in the Pucking Around series was just one-on-one, although there was like a 10-year age gap. She was older by 10 years. Which is fine. Whatever.
Yeah.
And then the third one... The third one I really liked because it was Poppy, the PR manager, director, whatever she is.
Okay.
In love with two of the boys on the team. One is like, they're always arguing, always fighting, feisty, but like, and it's like wild, crazy sex. And the other one, she's known from when he was at his old team before he went to Jacksonville. And so like, they've already been friends for a while and she's always had a crush on him. And so like, now they are a thing. Okay. And... The other guy is a thing. So it's like, she's with both of them.
Okay.
And they realize that they have a thing for each other as well.
Alright. I mean, go the LGBT representation, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
So, cool. Alright. My first book of the year was actually a reread because... as you know, and I've probably talked about it on the podcast, the Mercy Thompson series is, like,
yes.
By Patricia Briggs, my favorite series of all time. There's so many of these fucking books. And it's not, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's just the fact that there's so many of them. And, like, I'll tend to, like, not read them for a while. And then, like, a couple will be released. And I have to go back and be like, shit, what happened? Which is the problem I'm currently having. And so, like, at the beginning of the year, I went back and I read 11 in the series, which is Storm Curse. And I'd read that one before, but it had been the last one that I had read. So then, because I had bought the next one, but I hadn't read it yet, so I read that one. I read Storm Curse, which is number 11 in the Mercy Thompson series. And then I read 12, which is Smoke Bitten, right after that. And I think since then, there's now, I think there's two more. I know there's at least one more. I think there's two. And so I'm still a little behind, but not as behind as I was at the beginning of the year. Because I think the other one, the newest one, was released this year, if I remember correctly. Okay. Yeah, Soul Taken was released in 2022. So I knew that was the only one I was behind on. But then the other one, Winter Lost, which is number 14, that one was released this year. So I'm two books behind, but that's okay. Like, last year I read, I think I read 9 and 10 again as well, and then so I read 11 and 12 this year to try and, like, refresh my memory with it a little bit, so, which was good. And those books are just so easy for me to read. Like, they're just, it's just, like, going page after page after page after page, and it's just no issues whatsoever, so I don't have, like, that desire to, like, take a break from it or anything like that, and they always just, they're quick reads for me for the most part, so, but I love that universe, so it's really good. That was, like, the way I started off my year. And there was some manga thrown in there. And you could tell, like, when I find a series that I really like, because literally I read volumes 5, 6, 7, and 8 of one series, like, back to back. So, which was good. But it's a bunch of that isekai stuff.
Ah, yes.
Which, it is pretty good. It's getting repetitive. But isekai stuff is pretty good. Like, it's popular for a reason, and I do like it. So, it's hard to find the ones that are, like, really unique, but I have a couple of them that I've been reading that are, I like them, so.
Now,
it's been a lot of isekai and being a villain at the same time, and I like that combination, so.
All right, now my next question is, do you have any, like, besides the Mercy Thompson one, do you have any series in your Goodreads for this year?
Let's see. I'm gonna exclude manga from that, I guess, because I don't have to. There's a couple of manga series that I've read, like, quite a few volumes for. Like, My Next Life is the Villainess, I've read 5 volumes of that this year. Okay. So, and the Other Worlds books, Depend on the Bean Counter, I've read 3 volumes of that. I guess I don't consider, let's see, I've started a couple of novels, and I've continued a couple of novel series, I guess I should say, too, because, I mean, I read the first of the Crescent City books, so I've started that series. I haven't gotten to the next one yet, because they're just so long. It is going with me, though. The second one is going with me to come see you, so, like, that's gonna be my book there. I've read some sequels. Like, I read Assistant to the Villain. That one was the sequel to The Apprentice to the Villain.
I've also read that one.
Yeah, oh no, wait, the other way around. Assistant to the Villain is the first one. Apprentice to the Villain is the second one. She announced the cover for the third one.
Ooh!
Yeah, it's pretty. It's blue and green. It's Accomplice to the Villain, by the way.
Ah.
It's very pretty. I'm hoping the last one in that series is literally just going to be titled The Villain. And I hope it's all black.
She-Villain.
There you go. And I read for the probably, I don't know if I'd call it an accomplishment, but like I hit like a little personal kind of like milestone for myself in that my favorite book of all time is Hawk Song by Amelia Atwater Rhodes, and it's been my favorite book since I was like 12, 13, you know? And so it was the book that got me into fantasy. And nice. I read it. I have a first edition of it. I adore that book. It's a hardcover, all that.
Is that not the one you saw that you got at the books at the library or something?
So I've owned the first one for a really long time. However, I didn't own the rest of them. There's like, it's like a 5-book series or something like that. I didn't own the rest of them. I've read all of them except for the second one because they're all in a different person's perspective.
Okay.
And it's like there's time gaps between them, okay. So you don't really have to read them in order. And for some reason, like 13, 14-year-old me really didn't like the idea of reading the second book from the guy's point of view. First one's from hers, second one's from him. I don't know why, but I never wanted to read it from his point of view. I don't know what weird 14-year-old thing I was going on about, but like I really enjoyed the female lead character's perspective, and I really enjoyed that, and I'm just kind of, and I had a problem with the rest of the series because I was not attached to the rest of the characters the way I was attached to her, so I was just kind of like, okay. But recently, for the very first time, about 10 years, 20 years, almost 20 years later after I read the first one, I read the sequel. And I read Snake Charm. And it is now on my shelf with almost the complete series. I realized the other day I am missing one. I am missing one of the series. So I didn't realize that until I went to go like count them. And I'm like, wait a minute. There's 5. I only have 4. So I did realize I am missing one. It's one of the middle ones, I think. I think I'm missing the third one. Yeah, I think I'm missing the third one. I'll have to double check. So I've read some sequels. I haven't read some, like, full series this year. But I've read some sequels, and I've started a couple of series, though. So
I haven't read any... Okay, I've read a book. Like, I love reading series books.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every book in my Goodreads is part of a series. Yeah, there is not a single series in here that I have finished. Oh, except for one. Which would be A Touch of Chaos. That would be the last one in the Hades and Persephone book by Scarlett St. Clair. The only good thing Scarlett St. Clair has ever written.
That's true. A lot of back and forth with St. Clair because...
King of Battle and Blood.
The worst... The worst.
No, it's not the worst. Because I actually read it and I read the second one, even though it was like a hate read. No, Misty, her fairy one. The one she wrote about with fucking fairies. That, I couldn't get more than one chapter in. And I'm like, no.
Ooh.
No.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
The closest... Okay, I lied. It's The Touch of Chaos and the Pucking Sweet series, because those are done. The This Woven Kingdom by Taher Mafi, it's not done yet.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there are 5 books, but she's only written 3 so far. So, like,
okay.
I've read them.
Okay, yeah, you're caught up, so.
And I enjoy, I'm, like, wishy-washy on that series. I was like, it was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it would have me, and then it would lose me, and then it would hook me at the end. And it would be the same thing for each book.
Yeah.
Because it would have you in the beginning, because, like, now the second one has me because it's the hook from the first one, mm-hmm. and I just stop giving a shit, and then there's the hook again.
Yeah.
That's I'm like, fair. God damn it.
Did you DNF any books this year?
Yes. What did I DNF? Let's go to my...
Because I haven't DNF'd any this year, but there is one that is still sitting unfinished. On my bedside table.
This year, I have DNF'd When the Moon Hatched.
Mm. That's the one sitting on my bedside table. I couldn't do it. At what point did you give up on When the Moon Hatched? You got decently far into it, didn't you?
Not that far.
It's a long book.
I think I got through maybe a quarter of it, and I'm just like, I just don't give a shit.
Yeah. I looked at it yesterday.
I think it was like 20%. I got to about 20%. I just didn't care.
Okay. I'm on chapter 50. And when I tell you there's still about 300 pages of this book left, and I'm on chapter 50.
Because it was... I was reading When the Moon Hatched and... The Fate Inked in Blood.
Okay.
That one. And A Fate Inked in Blood, just, it hooked me from the very beginning.
Well, that's good.
I DNF'd The 7.5 Deaths of Evelyn Hardcastle.
Okay.
Like, again, interesting, but it lost me at the end, and I just didn't give a shit about who killed this person.
Yeah.
Like, to solve the mystery. Like, I thought it'd be cool because I loved the Westing game as a kid, and I'm like, this is, like, taking too long. I have Ghost Radio. I DNF that one. And the only reason I got it was so I could listen to Pedro Pascal narrate it, because he does. But the story did not have me whatsoever.
Okay. I haven't DNF'd any, but When the Moon Hatched is a very long book. For a book series novel that just doesn't say anything interesting.
I tried to read God of Malice, and I DNF'd that one real quick, too.
Yeah. So. I haven't heard anything really interesting about that.
It was on BookTok, or I don't know. I'm just like, let me try. And I'm just like, no.
Honestly, BookTok has not done me well, ever. It has never done
me well. To some, it has. But a lot of it I take with a grain of salt, because I'm just like...
In all honesty, if BookTok tells me it's a 5, I have to assume it's like a 3.5 at best. Like, there have definitely been books on there that I've enjoyed, but are not 5 stars. I have a hard time giving a book 5 stars, and I usually reserve that for, like, the best of the books. And 9 chances out of 10, if BookTok tells me that it's 5 stars, it is maximum 3 stars for me. And it's just for instance, like Fourth Wing. People adore Fourth Wing. They think it's the next coming of anything. It's okay. You know, it's good. I enjoyed it. I did enjoy it. I had criticisms about it. I still have criticisms about it. I think I have a lot of criticisms for both books, the Fourth Wing and the sequel, Iron Flame. I will still be getting the third book. And I'm, like, last year whenever Iron Flame came out, I went to the midnight release for that. And I enjoyed that. I will go to probably the midnight release for the next one. And because I enjoyed that, too. I intend to read it. I like the series. I'm not super invested in the main characters. Because so toxic to... Oh, honestly... Top 3 most toxic fictional relationships I've ever seen. Ever.
So they're up there with Jude and Carden. All right.
They are up there. Like, Violet and Zayden are probably sitting at number 1. Worst couple. Number 2 is Feyre and Tamlin. In all honesty. Like, they have unseated Feyre and Tamlin. And that's really saying something, because he locked her in a house.
And then it's Jude and Carden. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Like that. There are no redeeming factors for those people. But I still enjoy the world and I enjoy the series. So even if I'm not super invested necessarily in like a main couple or something like that, if I enjoy the world enough, like I will, I'll continue to read it. Now, I don't like to DNF books. I have a huge problem with like DNFing books, and I don't.
I did too, and then Erin kept telling me to just, it's not, if you're not into it, why force yourself to read it?
She's like, because I personally will not mark it as being read on Goodreads until I finish the whole book.
It's not in my Goodreads list.
Yeah, like it. I will, and I. What the fuck is the point? If I'm gonna suffer, this, like, I'm in like 500 pages into this goddamn monstrosity of a book, and I can't add that to my Goodreads. I'm gonna fucking kill somebody. I have to finish this book. And the thing with When the Moon Hatched, and I'm like, it's the world very interesting. Everything else falls short of the world building, in my personal opinion. Because the world was interesting. It wasn't fantastic, but it was very unique. It was very, like, she built it from scratch. They have their own, like, day system and hours and stuff like that. I just am not invested in a single character. Not a single one. And I can't get past it. I can't get past the fact that I just don't care. And I'm
That's why you put it down!
And I'm just like, well, it has been sitting on my bedside table for like 4 months. And like, I'm 50 chapters into this and I'm not done. And I will finish. I don't care. Do you understand that when I come to see you, what is a 5-hour flight, I have layovers both to and from. These 5-hour flights are like 9-hour things now because I have layovers. Honestly, when the Moonhatch might be going with me just so I finish it. Because I will have to finish it if I bring it on the fucking plane with me.
Are you going to leave it here in some kind of bookstore? Like,
I might give it to somebody. I might try to convince Geneva it's the best book ever written, so she'll take it. Like, please, I might give it to you just to put in your book library. I don't
you
know.
You can put it with your hands into my book, into my little free library, but like, yeah, I don't want it.
I will bring it with me just to finish it so I can fucking leave it there so it doesn't come home with me. Because goddamn, I will not be reading the sequels to that book. Like, I really, the art, stunning, the world building, very interesting. I like the fact that she has glossaries and, like, maps and things. I think that's really, it has all of the makings of a great story, just without the story part.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, so I'm having a hard time finishing that one. That is the only one that I've started this year that I probably will not finish until the next year. But that I did start that book. I started Crescent City as well, which was another monstrosity. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of mixed feelings about Crescent City. First five chapters, like the first, no, the first four chapters, I was mm-hmm. like, Chapter 5, 1,000% sold. 1,000% sold. And then there's like that middle, like 350 pages where I'm like, what the fuck? Why am I still reading? How is this book still going? Why? 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 And then, like, the last five chapters are like, bam, bam, uh-huh. bam, bam. And I'm just like, but she does that to you. Sarah J. Mm-hmm. Maas does that. She gets you in the first half, like, the first, like, quarter. And then the middle two quarters, and you're just like, ugh. And then the last one's just like, ugh. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I will be reading... Yep. The sequel. I will be reading the second Crescent City book. It is going with me on our trip. That'll be the book I read when I'm up there. Which I really debated between that one and Silver Flames. But I think Crescent City is going to be the one that's going to go with me. But yeah. So I've started a couple of series so far. So. And then I
will
continue.
What's the book in your Goodreads this year that just stands out from the rest? Like, not as in like, oh my god, you loved it. But like, one of these things just doesn't belong here, type of thing.
I would say the one that probably seems the most, like, really out of place, which in like, some regards it's not super, I mean, to be fair, I don't know if this seems out of place, but it is the one that every time I look at, I have an emotional reaction to, and it's Get in My Swamp. Because it's not a positive emotional reaction, mind you. That one, like, if I was almost ashamed to put it on my Goodreads, to be fair. That one was a little horrendous. But the one that strikes me as being different from the others in any significance is for a weird reason, but it's My Roommate is a Vampire. It was good. And I read it specifically because right before that, I had read Crescent City. Mm. And I wanted a light novel.
A light read,
shorter,
yeah.
Yeah, like, I just, like, a shorter, like, light novel. I read a bunch of manga between Crescent City and My Roommate is a Vampire. But, like, I wanted to read another novel, so I wanted something shorter. But I wanted something a lot lighter and stuff like that, too. It's odd, or a little bit standoutish for me, because it's, like, a contemporary. Mm. So it's, like, set in our world. It's very modern and all that. And I don't usually read those. When I go fantasy, I usually go pretty hard fantasy. Mm-hmm. It's either, like, full world of, like, vampires and werewolves and fae, and like if they're in this world, it's really heavy in the fantasy stuff, like with the supernatural. Now,
where does
creatures.
Crescent City fall into that?
Crescent City is highly supernatural. Like,
okay,
there's a whole bunch of different species. With My Roommate Is a Vampire, there's literally like two vampires.
Okay.
Like, that's it. Like, there's, okay. like, two vampires. Everything else is our world. It's just, like, here's a vampire. There you go. And it wasn't, like, there was not, like, a lot of vampire lore. There was not, like, a lot of delving into, like, the vampire world or vampire culture. No. It's literally modern world, this modern chick, and here's a vampire who's been asleep for, like, the last 100 years and doesn't know anything about modern reality, and she has to teach him about it. So I don't usually read contemporaries like that.
Okay.
The closest I come is like the Mercy Thompson series, but again, that's our world, but an alternate reality version where Fae came out as being real, like in the 70s or whatever, and then it was like werewolves and vampires. Like, there's a whole bunch of supernatural creatures in there. So My Roommate Is a Vampire was just limited to like two vampires, and that was it. So that one stands out for me. Just, I don't tend to like contemporary romance books anyway. Like,
okay.
I'm not invested because it's like, that's so reality adjacent that I don't like it usually. And I'm like, no, if you're going to give me the fantasy, if you're going to give me the romance, you got to put me in a different world, like one that's not this one, or make this world so highly different, like with Mercy Thompson or the Ilona Andrews, like the Kate Daniels series. Like, it is this world, but it's different enough that there's a divergence of reality, basically. So,
okay,
I have to kind of have that. I usually
mine would be Mythos, by Stephen Fry.
Why?
Because I mean, it is literally the retelling of the stories of all the ancient Greek gods.
That's cool.
It's a really cool read, and Stephen Fry is a great narrator and writer. So, like,
that's very true.
Yeah. So I decided to give that a shot, and like, I'm just like, oh my god, like some things I didn't even like put together before. I'm like, this is really interesting.
Well, that's cool though.
Mm-hmm.
I might have to check that one out. That seems interesting.
Yeah, the next one I believe is Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
That's gonna be fun. One book that I read this year that I had high hopes for,
mm-hmm.
and it delivered. And that doesn't usually happen.
Okay.
It is The Fragile Threads of Power by V.E. Okay. Schwab. She okay. wrote the name of this, the other series that I fucking love, which is the Darker Shade of Magic, the Shades of Magic series.
Okay.
So you have A Darker Shade of Magic, A Gathering of Shadows, and A Conjuring of Light. And okay. I absolutely love that series. And then, like, there's only three of them. And then I heard that she's coming back to the world mm-hmm. of the Shades of Magic.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay. I have high hopes. Because I had high hopes for Leigh Bardugo's The Familiar. And mm-hmm. I just didn't give a shit. I also DNF'd that one.
Okay.
Like, pretty far in. I think I was, like, 75% done. I'm just like, I really don't care. But no, Fragile Threads of Power. Not only do we have new characters,
mm-hmm.
all of our favorite old ones are in there as well.
Oh, that's good though. That makes it interesting too for like the people who've read the other series and like kind of want to bring them in.
Yeah, like it's like 9 years have passed since okay. everything that happened in the last Shades of Magic book.
Okay.
So we got new characters, our old characters going through whatever they're going through now. Like, it's just, oh, I love it. It was such a good read.
Well, that's good, though. Like, one of those kinds of reads that are, like, absolutely, like, 5 stars.
Yeah, like, it had me the entire time.
I don't know if I had any 5-star... no, that's not true. Apprentice to the Villain was a 5-star read for me.
I also did give The Game's God's Play a 5-star.
That's cool.
Because I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah. I'm trying to, like, find a series that just hooks me. Like, that I'm totally, like, if you told me, like, yeah, there's, like, 6 volumes in this series, great, give me all 6 right now. And, like, I'm not super invested in any series to that extent right now. But I have been, like, trying to find, because, like, I'm invested that way, and, like, I have, or at least I have been in the past. I was in the past, like, obsessed with, like, the Mercy Thompson series and, like, the Kate Daniels series and stuff like that. The Kate Daniels series, like, more or less came to an end. There's, like, sequel books to them now, like, when it's, like, a sequel series and all that. Not the biggest fans of those. A little give or take. That I've read one about the Blood Heir. Ooh, that's the only Ilona Ames book. What's that?
Bride?
What?
That one? Was it Bride?
I mean, I've read that one, but that's totally
not the one you're talking about. Okay.
Ilona Andrews' Kate Daniels series is like a 10-book, 12-book something or whatever. Anyway, love Ilona Andrews. I've met her and her husband because they're a writing duo. I have, like, books with their autographs and stuff on it, Perks of Working at Castles and Poor People. In fact, that's what that poster on my wall over there is. It's a signed poster by them. I adore everything she writes, and that is a fuck ton of books. Like, between the Kate Daniels series, the Sweep and Peace series, like, the Hidden Legacies. We're talking, like, 20 books. There's only one of them I've ever read that I didn't like, and that was the first of the Kate Daniels sequel, like, books, and that was Blood Heir.
Okay.
That was bad. Like, that was really bad. The lead character in that one is a character that is continuously reoccurring throughout the whole Kate Daniels series. And because she's Kate Daniels' like adopted daughter.
Okay.
And so she's in all, I think, except for like the first 2 books. So she's in like the other 8 or whatever. By the time you get to, like, when you're reading Blood Heir, for one thing, sounds like an entirely different character. Everything about this character has changed, from her name to her appearance to, like, her capabilities of, like, how she fights and her magic. And, like, there's, like, shifters and stuff in there. So, like, even her scent has changed and her, like, loyalties have changed. I'm like, just make a new character. Honestly. I don't think I would have minded this story at all if it just hadn't been that she was supposed to be the other character, that she was supposed to be Julie, and that's not even her name anymore. And I'm just like, just make a new character. Like, that's fine. You could just make a new character. Why did she have to be this person? And it just, like, and I hated it. I did DNF that book. That is a book I DNF'd. And I don't DNF books very often. I usually hate it. Especially because if I pay money for a book, I'm like, I'm gonna get fucking read. Even you should sit on my shelf for like 10 years and go get read at some point. But I did DNF that book, and that was, I did not like that book at all.
I have a book, or part of a series, it's a series that I think you might like.
Yeah?
It's called The Aeronauts Windlass.
Okay.
It's by Jim Butcher. The second one's called The Olympian Affair.
I'm familiar with Jim Butcher, yeah.
I haven't read his other steampunk book, I believe, but...
Mm-hmm.
Like, I absolutely adore the his series. Oh my god. His Calderon series. Okay. Theories of Calderon, Curse of Fury, that whatever. That I love it.
That's
fair. This one is on that, it's on par.
Well, that's cool. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I'll have to check it out. I'll have to throw it on my list. I've read a lot of manga this year. Like, a lot of manga this year. The standout series from that for me is probably Kaiju number 8. Because Kaiju number 8 is just so good. It is... So in the world of, like, manga and stuff like that, you have shonen, which are, like, the action.
Yes.
Like, stuff like Naruto and One Piece and Bleach and all that. And to a lesser extent, fairy tale is shonen, just because it really doesn't have established romances and stuff like that. Sort of, but it's more action than it is romance, basically.
Yeah.
But so there's a thing at the moment, and there was the big three, like when we were maybe in our, from the, when we were teenagers into our, like, yeah. our early 20s, there was the big three, was One Piece, Naruto, and Bleach. And yeah. Naruto ended a while ago. One Piece will end pretty soon. It is in its final stages. Bleach ended a long time ago. However, they dropped the author before he finished. They gave him one volume to finish everything, and it was been all leading up to, like, this huge, like, fight and everything like that, and he didn't get to finish it. But very recently, they brought the anime back, because they never finished animating the series. And they gave him the ability to make the actual ending, and that's what they're doing. So it has come back, and because the old popular ones are, like, kind of, like, fading and they're ending, there's, like, the new big ones are happening, but so that would be the second generation. Those have ended now too, and Bleach is kind of like the parent of that. I know this sounds really stupid and weird, but those are ending, and like, so the next surge of like shonen is coming up, and Kaiju number 8 is one of them, and it is the best shonen series I have read in a really long time. Like, it is really good. Like, I have no doubt that this will be, like, a... Like, if people have a problem with the anime at the moment, I understand why. Because the art style's not really the same.
Okay.
The manga's stunning. Gorgeous, detailed, holy... Because it's all about kaiju, which is, like, Godzillas and stuff like that. And they're attacking and things like that. But it's got that really good, like, gritty kind of art style of, like, monsters and stuff like that. And the people look really good, too. The anime spent a lot of money on special effects. And when they animated it into English, they hired English bands. Like, One Republic is, they did the opening themes, or the closing theme song. And they wrote an original song and stuff like that. They spent money on this anime. They just didn't spend it on the animations for the people. And it's a little stupid. But I have been binge reading the series, and so the last, like, 6 volumes are all on my Goodreads. So, or the most recent 6 volumes, or the first 6 volumes are all on my Goodreads this year. And there, it is literally just back to back to back on my Goodreads. And that is probably the series I'm most excited to continue, out of everything that I've read this year. So.
That I'm excited to continue, hopefully the games gods play will have another one coming out next year. I've been pretty consistent with the Black Dagger Brotherhood, that I've been reading a lot of those books. I'm currently reading, I know the name, it's the King. I just don't remember which book in the series it is. And if my computer would fucking load, that'd be great.
While you're looking for that, I'm just going to make an aside comment. But have you gotten, like, a lot of emails recently from companies about how they're updating their terms and services?
Yes.
Like, I have been getting so many of those in, like, the last, like, week or two. It's wild.
Yeah. The King is the 12th book in the series.
Yeah. It's hard to find a series that's long like that that you're really invested in. But when you you just kind of, like, sink your claws into it.
Yeah, like, my mom's friend, Ani, we have similar book tastes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love Kenyon and the Dark Hunter books, and she's read all of them, but she sides with J.R. Ward more than she does with Kenyon. I'm a Kenyon girl. She's a J.R. Ward. But, like, we've both read Showalter. Like, we've read the same shit.
Yeah.
But she loves J.R. Ward, so she got me into this one. And I've been reading the Black Dagger Brotherhood because it's her all-time favorite series. So she's like, if you love Kenyon and Showalter, you'll love this. So, like, okay, let's go. I've been steadily going through that.
Mm-hmm.
I've been also going through Katie Roberts' Olympus series.
Mm-hmm.
The Neon Gods and whatever. Those have been my mostly consistent series this year.
Yeah. I don't think I read a novel and its sequel this year. I've started a couple of series, I've continued a couple of series, but there's not... The only one that I've read anything, like, it's novels in the same series, is the Mercy Thompson series. So my first two novels of the year. But I haven't continued any other series of, like, multiple volumes in a series this year. Were there any
I would like to point out that Black Dagger Brotherhood is currently at 22 books. Cool. Like, novels. It's got the little novellas as well, but, like, 22 novels, and the 23rd is coming out as well.
Wow. Okay. That's long. That's long, long. I wish I had the ability to write like that. Not like, just to, like, churn out novels that way. You know?
Like, a part of me is like, these people have got to have fucking, like, ghostwriters or something. But I know for a fact that Kenyon doesn't.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Nora Roberts doesn't with how many books she fucking churns out.
Well, I watched...
J.R. Ward doesn't.
I watched an interview with Stephen King. It was between... J.R. Martin and Stephen King were talking. And Martin was just like... In 6 months, you released 3 books. He's like, I wrote, like, a chapter and a half. How do you do that to Stephen King?
Right?
And Stephen King doesn't really have, like, a... He said that he doesn't have, like, a goal in mind of, like, I need to get this far into this book today. It's just he has to write in a certain number of pages. And he's like, sometimes it's the book you're working on. Sometimes it's something new. Sometimes it's just, writing a... chapter down the way or something like that, and
as
he says it makes
right.
As long as he's writing, and I'm just like, okay, I kind of wish I had the time for that, but two, like, the dedication for that. I think if I wrote a novel, it would have to be probably from start to finish, like, in that order, because that's the way I write my papers, is I have a hard really hard time going back and, like, inserting things in the middle.
I can't do it.
Yeah,
I'll end up rewriting the whole damn thing.
Yeah, and I'm just like, okay. But, so there is that. But, are there any novels that stood out to you as being, like, they were, if there was something different about them that stood out? It could be something good, some could be something bad, just something a little different.
A little different. Damn, I'm trying to think. I guess I have 3,
okay.
I guess.
Okay.
One would be The House on the Cerulean Sea, that apparently is getting a lot of shit for now. I didn't... Maybe it's not for me. I don't know, but, like, I didn't see the appeal to it. Like, I finished it.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, I don't see the, oh my god, this is amazing. Like, I didn't see it. Sorry, TJ.
That's hilarious to me, but it's fine.
The Hemlock Queen. Mm-hmm. I was surprised at how much I enjoyed, because I remember, because I have read The Foxglove King. I think it was last year. And I didn't remember much about it, and I think I remember, like, my reaction to it being kind of like meh. And then when The Hemlock Queen came out and I read it, I'm just like, okay, I remember things again, and I was very happy with it.
Okay.
So I don't know if it was just where I was at when I was reading Foxglove King, but I really liked The Hemlock Queen.
Okay.
And then what was the third one I was going to say? Oh, I read Lovely Bad Things.
Okay.
And I read Lovely Violent Things. I tried to read the Lovely Wicked Things, even though it's the third one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I care.
That's fair.
Because it's a murder mystery. Like, someone's, like, there's a serial killer out there leaving clues for, you know, someone to solve it. You've got the main chick, who's a psychologist or something in that field, works, or like a forensic psychologist, something like that. And, like, she's working on the case. All the people are kind of sus because, like, she has history with the case. Mm-hmm. And then her partner that she gets insight from is an old professor. Well, not old, but, like, he's they're, like, the same age. Mm-hmm. But he is a professor, or was a professor before he got put into jail. He's big on Nietzsche. And I'm just like... You're both... Like, it's a cat and mouse game.
Yeah.
Between them to try and get the information and try to solve this damn case. And I'm just like... Where did the fucking... We're gonna have bloody sex in a field near a crime scene for complete euphoria come into the play to figure out the riddle? I'm like, what?
Yeah, if those kinds of scenes aren't placed very well in the book, it does throw everything off, and that does get enough. Or if it's overused, like there's just too many of those scenes in a book, and when you're trying to actually read it for a plot point, and it's just like, could you
there
just
weren't
like,
that
keep
many,
it together?
There weren't that many scenes like that, but it was a lot of just,
like,
why Nietzsche? Why are we obsessed with Nietzsche?
That's fair. I think the book for me, it kind of stood out. It's not in either a good or a bad way. Just as like one of the elements
stood out.
That was in it. Yeah, was Bride by Allie Hazelwood. It was not. It's not a bad book. I wouldn't read a sequel. I don't think there's a sequel. I wouldn't read a sequel for it. The world is different, and I will give it that. Something I wasn't expecting, but was also not unknown to me, was some of the anatomy things that happened.
Okay.
This is something Jessica and I have actually joked over because it's something Jessica and I knew about before this book came out. But in the world of fan fiction, there's a alternate universe trope, and it's called the Alpha Beta Omega trope.
Mm.
And it's this concept of people are either you're an alpha, you're a beta, or you're an omega, and it's like a secondary gender for people. And if you're like, if you're a guy who's also omega, you have like both male and female parts because you have reproductive capabilities, blah, 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 whatever. They didn't include that. That's not in the book, but an element of it is, and it's called nodding.
Oh, I've heard of nodding.
Mm-hmm. That's what it's from. It's from the Alpha Beta Omega fan fiction trope. I've never seen it in a novel, like in a published novel. I've seen it in the 99-cent Kindle stuff that you pay for that you know is just it's there's no plot. I've seen a shit ton of fan fiction. I've never seen it in an actual printed novel before.
Until Bride.
I don't like it if it's not in the Alpha Beta Omega setting because it just doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
Like I get he's a werewolf and like all of that and like that is one of that's like kind of where the idea comes from, but it just doesn't make as much sense if you're not going like the full distance with the whole Alpha Beta Omega thing. Like it's just it's a little weird to have on its own. Like, just for him, and he just has this one very specific thing from this. Nobody else has anything else going on. Just him, and it's just like, that's a little weird. Also, I don't care for the vampires in that world at all. They're literally corporate people, and, like, that's very strange to me. Yeah, they're corporate vampires. It's just, like, their whole society is, like a corporate structure. And it's just, like, okay. So I didn't really care for that, to be honest. And I'm just like, I wasn't super invested in the world. It was unique. I'll give it that. Like it was definitely different. I can't necessarily see anything that I would relate it to, but, and like, there was a couple little sprinklings of like things like that, where like the nodding and all that was different. And I haven't really seen before and like corporate vampires, but I don't necessarily think I would call it good. I wouldn't call it bad. It was very very in between. And I'm like, I wouldn't want to read more of this. And I'm glad it was only as long as it was kind of situation. And I'm just kind of like, all right, okay. So, but that was my, the book that kind of like struck me as like, this is different, but not necessarily good, not necessarily bad, but like not necessarily, I would prefer it if they left the fan fiction tropes in fan fiction, if you're not going to go the full nine yards. Now, granted, in mainstream media, like when this book came out, people were wigging out because they were having to explain, like the fan fiction side of the internet was having to explain like when nodding and things were, which was really funny. But it, like if you can't really go the full nine yards and include the alpha, beta, omega thing in your books. And I mean, you could try, but it really comes with a lot of pre-knowledge that you kind of have to have. Right, and like from fan fiction and stuff like that, it's just like it's not something I would just hand to somebody who's never read fan fiction before. So it would be it is a weird thing. Like I didn't think I was gonna like it when I first like that trope when I first read it, but I do. But it's everywhere, so you can't get away from it. It's fucking
everywhere. Good to know. All right.
And everything. I can't name a fandom that doesn't have it. Unless I go back to, like, some of the old dead fandoms, like, they might not have it, but...
All right, wrap this up. Top five books of this year so far.
Top five. Okay, well, you go first.
In no specific order. Mm-hmm. Mine are... A Fall of Wrath and Ruin by Jennifer Armentrout.
Okay.
Empire of the Damned by J. Kristoff.
Okay.
The Games Gods Play by Abigail Owen.
Okay.
Aeronauts Windless by Jim Butcher.
Okay.
And I'm going, for the fifth one, I'm going to have to say The Hemlock Queen.
Okay. Those are, sound like they were good, though, so.
I really enjoyed them.
Yeah. For me, Apprentice to the Villain. That was really good. Snake Charm, which is the Amelia Atwater Rhodes book. I did enjoy that more than, like, 14-year-old me expected I would. So, but maybe 14-year-old me wouldn't have liked it as much. My next life as a villainess was really good. Mm-hmm. And I will include the first Crescent City book in there. I like a book that keeps me, like, on my toes. And, like, the middle section did not... But the beginning and the ending really did, and Sarah J. Maas is very good at that. She's very good at, like, throwing curveballs at you. So that was, what, three books? The Saint's Magic Powers Omnipotent was really good. And to round it out... I Want to Be a Receptionist in the Magical World was really good. It's cute. It's very cute. It's very. I love the magical world that, and like the system that it sets up in there. That's really good. Are there any books in 2025 that you're looking forward to reading?
As horrible as this sounds, I haven't checked to see what's coming out in 2025. I just know that whatever is coming out, sorry, not whatever. I'm hoping that I'm getting books from this year's series that I've started to be out next.
That's fair.
Next year.
That's fair.
Because I have no idea. I have read so many books that I don't know what to keep up with anymore. It's more like, hey, yeah, this one's available. I'm like, give it to me.
Yeah, like it's just kind of like I've run into the sequel. Great. I think I'm looking forward to... I don't know if this... I'm assuming it comes out next year, but the Apprentice to the Villain, the third one, I think the third one comes out in 2025. And I have, because I've never read, I've seen the anime, but I haven't read it, Heaven's Official Blessing. I have the novel. It's that really pretty one that I sent you the picture of with like the sprayed edges. Oh
my God. Yes.
It's so pretty. I really would. It's out, like, and I own it, but I'm looking forward to reading it because it's sitting on my shelf and I would like to read it. And it's very, very pretty. And I'm very, very excited. So, because they're like mine of my favorite fictional couples of all time. So I am looking forward to reading them. So
now that I'm looking at this, I'm looking to see what's coming out next year. The next one in the games gods play called The Things Gods Break. And oh, it's a pretty book.
Is it?
Comes out in
September. We like pretty books.
We do. Comes out in September.
Ooh, okay.
Let's see. The next one in the Cinder Spires for the Aeronauts Windlass. Come on. You can do it. Nothing yet on the third one. Let's see, what else we got?
Is there a release date for the next Sarah J. Maas book?
For the ACOTAR 6 book?
I don't think there is. Yeah, I googled it. It says that her next book is expected to release in late 2025 or early 2026.
Okay.
Which is good, because I need time. There's so many books I need to read. So I really need to read a bunch of books. So I really just need to break down and read Silver Flame so that I can just cross ACOTAR off as done. Like, I've finished. I've caught up with it as much as I can without moving into another series. So
fair.
But
the next in the Saga of the Unfaded comes out in May. So okay. Cursed, Carved in Bone.
Okay.
It's a pretty That's bitching cool. cover.
Yeah. We love our pretty books. And we finally, do. Like, bookstores are realizing we want sprayed edges. I want pretty books. Give me the pretty books.
Took them I went long to enough.
Books a Million the other day. And they had, like, this whole massive table full of beautiful sprayed edged books. So it was just like.
I bought a book because of it was such a. Like, the sprayed edges were so fucking pretty.
Mm hmm.
Like, that's the reason I bought the Games Gods Play. I'm like, it sounds cool, but also the pretty sprayed edges.
It's just like, I just also just kind of want to own this piece of art. Like, I've definitely have bought books that are stunning and then just the worst books in the world on the inside. But, they've been doing better by us with making the pretty books. So, just all of them are pretty now. So, or a lot of them are pretty.
We can only wait for more.
I know. I want all the pretty books. I've seen people on, like, Book Talk and stuff like that who have their bookshelves behind them and their books are turned around so you just see all the sprayed edges. And I'm like, that's really cool.
I need to see my spines. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I'm like, but I need to know what books they are. So, because, like, I would need to know. So, but yeah. So we've read some interesting stuff. You've read a shit ton of books. 69 books. I've read 49 books so far this year. And yeah, hopefully we'll start out next year strong. I think I was a little weaker on my novel game this year than I was last year. But I'm expecting when I read my fan fiction rap, it's going to be a lot worse than it was. Uh-huh. A lot more than it was last year, so... Because I was
not pretty... even surprised.
No.
Not even surprised.
No. I'm almost like a little I would be disappointed if it was under 100. Like, it won't be. But like, if it was ever under 100, I think I'd be disappointed. But yeah, I do read a lot of them. So, but I'll have to do I think last year I made my own fan fiction wrapped like post on Instagram or something like that.
Ah.
I'll have to like.
Do it again.
Do it again. And like, yeah. Maybe I'll add it on the podcast or something. So, but yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. We are well into December at this point. Hope those of you in the northern hemispheres are staying warm. Those of you in the southern hemispheres are staying cool. And I hope you guys all have your holiday shopping done because
yes.
It is coming. The holiday gift giving is coming. So best of luck to everybody. And yeah, you can hit us up on social media, the Sorry Not Sorry Generation. Tell us what books you really enjoyed this year. maybe tell us which ones you didn't really enjoy this year. You can either comment on this post, you can send us a message, whatever you want to do. You can hit us up on Instagram at Starting Out Story Generation. So we will see you guys next time.
Next time.
Bye.
Bye. Sweet.